Let me just plug in my phone. Okay. So I'm going to have Wendy read the quickly review where we're at and looking at came to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. And that doesn't mean just the first time in the program, because I know that I have a lot of people on in the workshop that have time in the program that are big book thumpers that know the work. So how do we begin to look at this from a place, not only as a new person, but a person with time? What do we look at? How do we look at Ignatius? So I have to look back and say, you know, I know that, you know, at 31 years, I've had many times in, you know, and by the grace of God and by my, I believe the disciplines of the steps and the way I live my life, I've been in protected grace and also in conscious contact, because there comes a time as we turn into step two, where the book is going to ask us, these spiritual practices are going to say, yes, grace has taken you, if you're a new person, especially this far, but it's now time to make contact with that has given you the grace. So I look back and I say, you know, can I see the insanity in the physical craving? And, you know, it talks about a strange mental twist later on in working with others that we're supposed to explain to the new person. And the strange mental twist is the insanity of the physical craving is based on all the evidence of it. I still think that I can control the amount once I drink or once I use. And that is a strange mental twist. And the mental, and that's insane. And the mental obsession is based on all the evidence as to, that I see as a result of my mental obsession, that I think I can control the stop. And that's insane. And that's a mental twist, because there's not any bit of evidence that says that I can control the stop, and I still think I can. And then we say, okay, and our lives have become unmanageable. And we can turn that dash, and Joe Hawk and Don Pritz guys talk about this. I can turn that dash into a wall. We admitted we're powerless over alcohol mentally and physically, and that our lives have become unmanageable. Dash, and our lives have become unmanageable. I can flip that up and make it a wall. And what happens is there's no more alcohol after the mental and the physical. And that's a dangerous way to look at it. You know, you hear people, alcohol's not my problem. Alcohol's not my problem anymore. And that is, for me, that's a very dangerous place to live, because alcohol will always be behind any of the spiritual difficulties that I have as outlined in the bedevilments. Underneath all the problems I have in personal relationships, can they get bad enough that I could pick up a drink? Yeah, I believe they can. I mean, I don't look at it like it's not a drink that's the problem. I think an alcohol's always there. If things get whacked enough in my life, I can pick up a drink. You know, I pray and hope in my program that I don't, but I believe that. So we went deeper into seeing the insanity of the bedevilment, the spiritual malady, the unmanageability, untreated alcoholism. The insanity of that is I think that I can manage it. I think I can play God and fix this internal condition in all areas of my life. And that the more I try to fix it, the worse that it gets, because I stand in the place of God rather than next to God. And the spiritual malady doesn't care how much time I have in the program. It is progressive, whether I'm drinking or not drinking. So I have to see that in my life, that they're taking me to another bottom of the unmanageability of my life. Internal changes. My whole life changes. And isn't that what I've always been trying to do my whole life, is change the way I experience life? That's been the story of my life. I want to control the way I experience life, and I don't have any evidence that I can, and I continue to try, and that's crazy. So now we're going to go to We Agnostics, page 44. I like to go over, this is the first half, I like to go over a couple of things on page 44, asking the person I'm working with and myself, okay, do I believe I'm suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer? I do. Do I believe to be doomed to an, do I believe I can be doomed to an, to, I'm sorry. Do I believe to live on a spiritual basis of life would be doomed to an alcoholic death or not always, are not always easy alternatives to face? Do I believe that? Yes. Do I see that after a while I have to face the fact that I must find a spiritual basis of life? Do I believe I have to find a spiritual basis of life at this point? And the person I'm working with, we're going over that. Yes, I do. So I go over to page 45 and it says, well, that's exactly what this book is about. I'm sorry, lack of power. I'm going to go back to lack of power. That was my dilemma. It wasn't a dilemma for me because I was happy to seek power. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how we're going to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable me to find a power greater than myself, which will solve my problem, and not to get a power greater than myself that will help me solve my problem. And that's what I did. God became Tyler's helper. And I turned to God to help me. And I didn't see it for years and years and years in this program because I only gave God my alcoholism and my addiction. That means we have written a book which we believe to be spiritual. Okay, it said I'm going to get a power that's going to solve my problem. Then it says to me, it's to be spiritual. So I must have a spiritual problem as well as moral. Oh, I must have a moral problem. And it means we're going to talk about God. Oh, I must have a God problem. So those three things must be part of the problem you're talking about. Here, difficulty arises with agnostics. People that believe there's a God, but that he won't work personal in their lives or personal to them. Many times we talk to a new man and watch his hope rise as we discuss his alcoholic problems and explain our fellowship, but his face falls when we speak of spiritual matters, especially when we mention God. For we have reopened a subject which our man thought he had neatly evaded or entirely ignored. And part of the homework was for you to take to quiet time and list all the things that you see that you have evaded concerning God, things you've evaded, anything that you've ignored, and and then we have shared his honest doubt, anything that I've honest doubt and prejudice about. Some of us have been violently anti-religious, anything we're anti-religious about. In other words, to others, the word God brought up a particular idea of him which someone had tried to impress upon us in childhood. Any ideas from childhood? Perhaps we rejected this particular conception because it seemed inadequate. With that rejection, I had imagined I'd abandoned the God idea entirely. So when I'm doing this exercise, I pray and I ask God to help me not fool myself about what I have built up between me and God, because the longer I'm around the program, the harder it is to see what I've built up, because I'm, you know, a spiritual seeker, and I'm this, and I read all these books, and I da 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 da, right? And it's harder for me to see than it was when I was newer. So I'm going to go more into this. Wendy, would you read the set aside prayer? Thank you.
Yes. Hi, I'm Wendy. I'm an alcoholic. Set aside prayer. God, please enable me to set aside everything I think I know for an open mind and a new experience. Help me see the truth about my need to come to believe in a power greater than myself.
Thank you, honey. I'm just looking for the sheet where I wrote all my stuff down. I brought it here. Okay. It must be in these other notes. Okay, here it is. Okay, so you had a quiet time. You asked what all the prejudice is, what all the doubt is, okay? And so my honest doubt for me was, and this is gonna be such an important workshop meeting for us, for all of you to share, because I think we learn the most from other people's experience around this stuff than we do from just reading it or just from our own. My honest doubt was, I still doubt that God really loves me. I know it in my head, but sometimes I still doubt it, evaded. I always evaded really examining religion with God. Abandoned. I understand God is, wait. I want to abandon the idea that I can continue to equate God with religion. I don't want to do that. I want to abandon that idea. I can have a belief in church things and not have to attend church. That's another idea that I want to examine. Prejudice against some church people. Seeing everything I write about, I wouldn't want to tell you this yet. Okay, so those are some of the things that I saw, you know, that I have a real problem with the way that some church, with some churches, how they treat certain groups of people has been a real problem for me, and really was a bar to me getting closer to God for years of my life. Also, I saw church abuse in my childhood with my brother, and that really turned me off, you know, and I really grew up, my mother was really an atheist, so I didn't have a lot of experience with God. So all of it in early AA, I really never examined this. I don't know if this was for any of you guys. I never ever remember being in a meeting ever where people talked about a personal relationship with God. I never heard that. I never heard it until Mark Houston, and then most importantly, Dan Sherman, but Dan wasn't as much into it as Jose. Jose was the one that took me the most to this personal relationship with God. I didn't know even that was being offered to me, if that makes sense to you. I didn't understand what was being offered to me. That's why I hope that you see this to be able to offer it to newer people. So when I'm going into this piece of the work, I say, am I going in because I need a stronger personal relationship with God? I'm someone with time. Am I going in to renew my personal relationship with God? Or am I going in to get a personal relationship with God if I'm new? And I'm going in to renew it and get a stronger one with God, because I know that I need to grow in this. So I'm going to go over to the top of page 46. We were bothered. Oh boy, was I bothered with the thought that faith and dependence upon a power. Remember, when they say capital P, they mean a power greater than yourself, a power more of the divine. A little p is more of my power. Faith and dependence upon a power beyond myself was somewhat weak, even cowardly. We look upon the world of warring individuals, warring theological system, and inexplicable camp calamity with deep skepticism. We looked askance with mistrust at many individuals who claim to be godly. They're smoking, they're putting people down, they're doing all kinds of ungodly things. What the hell? How could the supreme being, remember, they're going to offer a lot of names for a higher power throughout this book. And one of the things is that I now see these names as aspects of God rather than names for a higher power. And I take these names and I take them to quiet time and I say, God, please show me what you mean to me as supreme being. And I intuitively write. It's not something you have to do. It's just something I'm sharing with you that's brought a lot of facets to God. It's given me like that God is creative intelligence, not that there's creative intelligence and there's God. What do you mean to me, God, as creative intelligence? And I intuitively write it down. There's 25 of these names from the beginning of the book to 164. There's 25 or 30 names for God that you can write down. They're all capitalized, and then you can go back in an intuitive way and ask them in a meditative way, God, what do you mean to me as czar of the heavens? What do you mean to me as guiding force? What do you mean to me? And just intuitively write down a word or a sentence or whatever you get. Don't spend time on it, but it's very powerful when all of these capitalized words become aspects of God rather than a name for a separate God. And this was given to me by someone, and I think it's brilliant, and I think it's a great experience. Okay, how could a supreme being have anything to do with it all? And who could comprehend a supreme being anyhow? Yet in other moments, we found ourselves thinking, when enchanted by a starlit night, who then made all this? There was a feeling of awe and wonder, but it was fleeting and soon lost. And I love the word awe and wonder. And I try to keep, when I'm going through we agnostics, an attitude of awe and wonder. I like the attitude of the magnificence of what really is around me that I sometimes don't acknowledge, okay? Yes, we have agnostic temperament. We believe that God might not work in my life. I've had these thoughts and experiences. Oh, about my mother used to say all the time, how could there be a God when there are so many wars? How could there be a God when there's crippled children? How could there be a God? So that rubbed off on me, you know what I mean? And it took, you know, years into the program before I really could examine some of these ideas to see how false they were, that, you know, God wasn't responsible for all this stuff, but that's the way she believed. Let us make haste to reassure you. We found that as soon as we were able to lay aside prejudice and express even a willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, we commenced to get results. Even though it was impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend the power which is God, I don't have to figure God out to begin to make a first relationship with him. But to say, I can't define God, forget it. It's important to me that I begin to learn some things about this God or higher power that or supreme being that I'm turning my life over to. Okay. Much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Well, then when someone in a meeting says, you can borrow my God, that is in line with the Big Book. The Big Book says, I better find my own conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with him. Okay, the book is saying we're going to approach, we're going to contact, we're going to get conscious contact with God. We're going to approach and get conscious contact with God right in the next two pages. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, God, what do you honestly mean to me as creative intelligence? A spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction. And anytime they use the word new, it means every time through the work. Every time I go through the work, I'm going to get a new sense of power and direction, provided I took other simple steps, the 12 steps. I found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To those who seek him, to us, the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive, or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men and women. Okay, so here it is. They just told us, right? My job is to seek. The only way I can be excluded from this relationship with God is not to seek. You don't want a conscious contact with God? Don't seek. You don't want a relationship with God? Don't seek. I exclude myself by not seeking. Does that make sense to you guys? Does that make sense, Vanessa? I have to be the one that participates in this. They're not, no one's forcing me. Okay. Top of the next page, top of page 47. When therefore we speak to you of God, we mean your own conception of God. This applies too to other spiritual expressions, which you find in this book. Do not let any prejudice, you know, they said prejudice already about four times. Don't let any prejudice you may have against spiritual terms deter you from honestly asking yourself what they mean to you. At the start, this was all we needed to commence spiritual growth, to effect our first, there it is, conscious relation with God. I'm meeting God right here, as we understood him. Afterward, we found ourselves accepting many things which then seemed entirely out of reach. That was growth. But if we wished to grow sober, I wrote sober over that, we had to begin somewhere. So we used our own conception, however limited it was. So after I finished going over all of the things that I may have evaded, ignored, or have prejudice over with someone, do the set-aside prayer. I have to be willing to set that all aside to make that turn onto 46 to get to the bottom to seek. And I have to trust that when I ask God to set it aside, it will be set aside and not continue to take back. Whatever is of truth, is of God, when you set it aside, will come back to you. So it says on the top of page 47, don't let any prejudice deter you from honestly asking yourselves what these spiritual terms mean to you. So I, in that quiet time, homework assignment was, God, please show me what you honestly mean to me. And you are to intuitively write down what comes off your pen. You are making conscious contact right there with God. It is important to know the God that you're going to turn your will and your life over to in step three. It's important to make the book saying we're making contact. It's saying it right there. Conscious contact on the bottom of page 46. And now we've made it when we in quiet time, intuitively asking God, what do you honestly mean to me? And what God said to me was, God said to me that Heavenly Father and all that's good. That's what God revealed to me for this time through the work. He's my Heavenly Father, all that's good. And it was just in some short blurbs. And I love that. And that wouldn't have been something I would normally say. It wouldn't. So, you know, and sometimes you're going to write it down. You're going to think, oh, that came from my head. Don't worry about it. You know, the more that you practice this, the more that it will come from your heart. And you will know, even from your head, God's in charge of it. Okay, so here we go. Middle of the page 47. We needed to ask ourselves one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is, not in, a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. Okay. This is the first consideration in step two. There's two. This is the first. God's everything or God's nothing is the second. And it says, do I believe or am I even willing to believe there is? It doesn't even say in. And they assure us that as soon as I'm willing to believe that I'm on my way. And I say, if I having time in the program, do I believe that there is a God that can take me? Do I believe there is a God that is Heavenly Father and all that's good? What I got from that conscious contact meditation that can take me further in every area of my life than I've ever been before. Do I believe that God can take me beyond here, whatever feels for you? So in right now, if you guys would just close your eyes, and I'm going to say it, and I want you to say it quietly, no words, inside of yourself, to accept this consideration. Do I believe, or am I willing to believe, that this God that I made conscious contact with in the previous paragraph can take me beyond here? Okay, I just wanted us all to acknowledge that. Okay, so we emphatically assure him, when he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he's on his way. It's been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, and I want to read to you the best definition that I have of cornerstone, okay? It's in another book I have. Okay, the cornerstone, are you writing, Vanessa? Okay, I just want to know so I can say it slow enough for you if you're writing. The cornerstone determines the trueness of a structure, whether it is plumb, which means level, and square. This willingness to believe is essential to the new structure of our lives. It is a guiding principle a solid base for our decisions and actions. Willingness coupled with honesty and open-mindedness. Willingness coupled with honesty and open-mindedness is essential and indispensable to our recovery. That's the cornerstone. And if you didn't get it and you want it, you can always just text me and I'll text it to you. Okay. So look, I don't want to tell you that till we get to the next page. Okay, so here we go. So we're all willing. That was good news to us, for we had good news was that all I had to be was willing. That was the good news, especially for new people that aren't sure. And, you know, even when I'm working with new people from the beginning, they're praying and they're getting in touch with this God. But when I go through here, I start it like they haven't been, because I want them to experience what the book is saying. I want them to do it from the basics. You know what I mean? Because we want to find the spiritual basis of life. That was great news, for we assumed we could not make use of spiritual principles unless we accepted many things on faith which seemed difficult to believe. When people presented us with spiritual approaches, how frequently did we say, I wish I had what that man has. Oh God, have I ever said that? I'm sure it would work if I could only believe as he believes. I used to say that about Leanne. She has such incredible faith. But I cannot accept as surely true the many articles of faith which are so plain to him. So it was comforting to learn that I could commence on a simpler level, willing to believe. Besides the seeming inability to accept much on faith, we often found ourselves handicapped. Am I on the right page? Hold on, you guys. Yes, I'm sorry. Found ourselves handicapped by obstinacy, stubbornness. None of us are stubborn, right? I think that should be one of the characteristics of an alcoholic. I think these three: sensitiveness, an unreasoning prejudice, which is unexamined, things I don't want to examine. And that was me when I had so much madness at the church because of the way they treated a certain group of people. I wouldn't even examine it. Many of us have been so touchy that even casual reference to spiritual things made us bristle with antagonism. Yes, I want to fight about it. This sort of thinking had to be abandoned. Abandoned means I leave it entirely. Though some of us resisted, we found no great difficulty in casting aside such feelings. Faced with alcoholic destruction, we soon became as open-minded on spiritual matters as we had tried to be on other questions. What made me willing to start to believe when I was new? Alcohol. If you've done a first step the way we've done a first step, I'm going to either live by a power greater than myself or die by a power greater than myself. In this respect, alcohol was a great persuader. It finally beat us into a state of reasonableness, sober. How many of us have had to be beat into getting a deeper relationship with God in order to get the spirituality that we really needed? And this can happen sober. Sometimes it was a tedious process. We hope no one will be as prejudiced for as long as some of us were. The reader may still ask why he should believe in a power greater than himself. We think there are good reasons. Let us have a look at some of them. The practical individual of today is a stickler for facts and results. All I want to know is, does that crack cocaine, is it real? And when I put it in the pipe, is it going to sizzle? And when I smoke it, am I going to get high? Oh yeah, I got results. I go back to the same dealer. Nevertheless, the 20th century readily accepts theories of all kinds, provided they are firmly grounded in fact. We have numerous theories, for example, about electricity. Everybody believes them without a murmur of a doubt. Why this ready acceptance? Simply because it is impossible to explain what we see, feel, direct, and use without a reasonable assumption as a starting point. The reasonable assumption is that God can and will influence my life. God can and will influence my life. So when I flip on that switch in my room here to get electricity, I don't understand in the wall how that works. I don't have to say, oh, no, I'm not using that electricity. I don't understand how it works. But when I flip it on, I have light that I can see, feel, use, and direct right here. So based on the result of it, I begin to accept that I may not understand the inner workings of it, but I can accept the result of it. Does that make sense to you guys? So let's go down to everybody nowadays believes in scores of assumptions for which there is good evidence, but no perfect visual proof. And does not science demonstrate that visual proof is the weakest proof? It is being constantly revealed as mankind studies the material world. Oh, here, this is very important to me. A material world that outward appearances are not inward reality at all. This is a powerful spiritual principle. And let me tell you something. This is the way, this is off topic right now, but I just want to share it with you. This is the way that we begin to see people. We're not just looking at the things that we can't explain, like the microwave and the light switch. I begin to see how wrong I am, that I want to judge from outward appearances, inward reality about people that I don't know. And when I remember that spiritual principle that outward appearances are not inward reality at all, to me in the world of people, it brings me a new comfort to know that I don't know. Does that make sense to you, Helen? And Vanessa, it's so made so much sense to me, you know, and I use it in step four. So
I have a question about that, Tyler, but I'm going to
wait
for the end.
Okay.
I'm going to save it for the end, but I have a question.
You can tell me now.
Well, I just in terms of like out that, that really hit me because I was just today, I was really thinking about how to really see the light of God in someone else mm-hmm. instead of.
That's right.
Right. And I just, you know, it was like just someone that was irritating me basically. But, and I was like, I just want to, God, help me see the light. Help me see the light in her, you know? And I don't know if I'm there yet, but I'm like, I'm frustrated by it because I want to do that. I want to see that. And there's no reason to be frustrated by her. She's a perfectly fine person. Just annoys me. Right? It's no big deal. It's just someone I work with and she annoys the shit out of me. Right? So it's like, I just want to see the light, you know, she's likely reminding me of my old self, you know, mm-hmm. But yeah, that rang when you said that about the outward appearances are not.
Isn't that a beautiful principle? You know what you're doing? I'm so glad you shared it because what you're doing is you're turning to the power. You're turning to God for the help that you need and you will get it. But you know, we want it in our time.
Right. Yesterday.
Yeah. Yesterday. And then to pray, what can I do for her? What can I bring to her? Show me, Father, what I can bring to her.
That's a challenge. Okay.
Well, that's the way I've done it. You know what I mean? When it's helped me. So, So you're so welcome, honey. So they're telling me that outward appearances are not inward reality. Okay. The prosaic steel girder, the plain ordinary steel girder, is a mass of electrons whirling around each other at incredible speed. These tiny bodies are governed by precise laws, and these laws hold true throughout the material world. There are little atoms and neutrons, and they're flying around in there, and we can't see them. And they tell us, science tells us that. And at this time, the atomic microscope hadn't even been invented. They didn't even know this. Scientists were just telling it. Science tells us so. We have no reason to doubt it. When, however, the perfectly logical assumption that God can and will work in my life, that underneath the material world and life, I added that, as we see it, there's an all-powerful, here are other words for God that you can take to meditation, all-powerful, guiding, creative intelligence, right there, my perverse streak comes to the surface. And I want to argue, I want to bring up old concepts, old ideas, and we laboriously set out to convince ourselves it isn't so. We read wordy books and indulge in windy arguments. We listen to nutcases in meetings, thinking we believe this universe needs no God to explain it. Were our contentions true, it would follow that life originated out of nothing, means nothing, and proceeds nowhere. Okay, so they're trying to tell me, right, that because I can't see something doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Because when I put food in the microwave, I don't stop and say, I've got to take it apart. I got to understand it before I use the microwave. I don't take my phone apart. My phone, the truth of my phone isn't what I see on the outside, right? So when we go back to all the things that we looked at, that all of you looked at, where we were prejudiced, right, Mariana, where things we evaded, things that, you know, we were prejudiced against, evaded, ideas about religion, all the things that we prejudiced, that we needed to set aside. When you look at all of that stuff you did, if you can look at it, if you have it written in front of you, look at it. All of those ideas about God came from the outside of you. All of them. None of them came from the inside. None of us really sought, including me, to ask deep within myself what God honestly means to me, to concede about God in the same place I conceded that I'm an alcoholic on page 30. I didn't go within. And that, you guys, blew my mind. Every single idea about God I had came from religion, came from parents, came from books, came from friends. You know, I became a Buddhist when I was newly sober for 10 years, you know, until I needed, that didn't work. I had to go further. You know what I mean? But everything I had came from external stuff. I never had sought within. Okay. Okay, here we go, guys. Instead of regarding intelligent agents, now remember, when we get to step three, intelligent agent, step three, God is going to be the principal and I'm going to be his agent. And a principal is going to empower me to be and do who God will have me be. This is so powerful. This stuff is so powerful to me. Now, God is saying, Tyla, tapping me on the shoulder, honey, you know, you're an agent for me. Oh man, that is really cool. Okay, God. I mean, that is cool. I'm an agent for God. An intelligent agent, spearhead of God's ever advancing creation, being in the trenches with God. We agnostic and atheists chose, oh boy, here we chose to believe that our human intelligence was the last word, the alpha and the omega, the beginning and the end of it all. Rather vain of us, wasn't it? So here it is, okay? Where agnostics and big believers meet. This is where they meet. Agnostics and big believers meet right in the place of what they rely on. Whatever I rely on is what I'm going to call God. If I'm relying on my money more than God, that is my God. And we're going to tear this down. Joe's going to tear it down next week in the second half. But you can be a big believer like Roland Hazard. He was a big churchgoer, right? But he did not have access and he did not have conscious contact. And he could meet in the place of, I'm guessing, probably not relying on God, right? I can say, right, I don't rely on God because I don't believe that there's a God that'll work personal in my life. And believers can say, big Christian churchgoers can say all they want how they believe. But if they're not relying on God, then God's not their higher power. So it's what I rely on. This becomes about reliance, okay? We who have traveled this dubious path, this is one of the most beautiful paragraphs, I think, in the big book. Dubious path means doubtful. Beg you. The doubtful path is the one to continue to hang on to being an atheist agnostic and not to go forward and seek this relationship. We have traveled this dubious path, beg you to lay aside prejudice, even against organized religion. Boy, this paragraph, you guys hit me so hard because I had a lot of prejudice against organized religion. And this years ago, this paragraph, I had to really take it to quiet time. We have learned that whatever the human frailties of various faiths may be, these faiths have given purpose and direction. Would I like more purpose and direction in my life? These faiths have given purpose and direction to millions. People of faith have a logical idea what life is all about. Actually, we used to have no reasonable conception whatever, and I did not. I had no idea what life was about. We used to amuse ourselves by cynically dissecting spiritual beliefs and practices when we might have observed that many spiritually minded persons of all races, colors, and creeds were demonstrating a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness we should have sought ourselves. And let me tell you, I want that. I want more stability in my life. I want more happiness. I want more usefulness. And you know what? I want to see what time it is. Oh, I want to wrap this up. We only have a little number page. When I look at the people, I have a lot of friends in South America. And when I look at the people that have these, some of them, and I lived in India, in some of these poor countries, right? Their faith gives them so much stability, so much direction, so much purpose in their lives. It holds them together. When you get to more affluent societies, it's a little different. They're not as faithful in it as I see in some of the other countries. Their whole lives depend on revolving around a relationship with the church, especially in the Catholic Church in South America. And it gives them their lives incredible meaning. And I want that in my life. I don't have to join a church to get it because the book's telling me I don't have to do that. But I want what they have, and that is that they have a faith that works. Instead, we looked at the human defects, top of page 50. Instead, we looked at the human defects of these people and sometimes use their shortcomings as a basis of wholesale condemnation. We talked of intolerance. Here was me while we were intolerant ourselves. I was condemning the people that were condemning the people that I didn't want him to condemn in church. We missed the reality and the beauty in the forest because we were diverted by the ugliness of some of the trees. We never gave the spiritual side of life a fair hearing. I never gave the religious side of life a fair hearing. I gave the spiritual side. In our first, I'm going to skip that paragraph, okay? On one proposition, however, these men and women are strikingly agreed. Every one of them has gained access to, okay, so I'm going to go from seeking to conscious contact to being willing to believe. And through the 12 steps, I'm going to gain access to and believes in a power greater than himself. This power has in each case accomplished the miraculous. If you're working with someone and they're 3 or 4 months sober and they're here, they're friggin' a miracle. And you need to show them that because there's no way that I'd have a sobriety date if it wasn't for God. Humanly impossible. Celebrated American statesman put it this way. Let's look at the record. Here are thousands of men and women, worldly indeed. They flatly declare thousands, not 100. They flatly declare that since they have come to believe in a power greater than themselves, which we all said we're willing to do, and to take a certain attitude, which is on page 55, toward that power, and to do certain simple things, the steps, there has been a revolutionary, this is what Carl Jung talked about, revolutionary change in their way of living and thinking. Right, one of the main things that changed for me is that I cannot fix an internal condition with outside stuff. My whole life, I was trying to fix an internal condition with outside stuff. A complete revolutionary change in their way of living and thinking in the face of collapse and despair, living on my own power. In the face of the total failure of my human resources, step one. They found that a new power, every time through the work, everyone going through this work will get a new power, a new peace, a new happiness, and a new sense of direction flowed into them. This happened soon after they wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements, the 12 steps. Often confused and baffled by the seeming futility of life, of existence, we did this last week, but now we're doing for step two perspective. Uselessness is futility. They show the underlying reasons why they were making heavy going of life. I'm making heavy going of life because I'm carrying it all myself. I am not giving it to God. I don't have a God that is carrying it with me. I don't have a God that's working with me. I don't have a God that's personal to me. Remember in Bill's story, he went from impersonal God to a personal God and his whole life changed. When I got that there is a God that loves me and cares about me and really got that deep, my whole life changed. And you guys, this is in the last 6-7 years. I mean, I had that God. I mean, and I, you know, I don't want anyone else to have to wait that long because I didn't know it. I really didn't know that the book is offering me a God that cares about me, that really cares about me. And that to me is absolutely life-changing because really I didn't come from a childhood where I was very cared about. And to think that this God really cares about me was just incredible to me. They tell why living was so, why they're making heavy going of life. Leaving aside the drink question, they tell why living was so unsatisfactory, living on my own power. They show how the change came over them when many hundreds of people are able to say that the consciousness of the presence of God is today the most important fact of their lives. They present a powerful reason why one should have faith. That paragraph that I told you before when we were in it is the bottom line to the whole program. The consciousness of the presence of God being the most important fact of my life is the bottom line of this whole program. Consciousness of the presence of God is not a feeling. It is the sixth sense. It is beyond feeling. It's beyond touching, seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling. It's beyond. It's a knowing, and you will get that. And today I have that knowing that God is always with me. There, I know the presence of God. I don't feel God, but I feel the presence of God, if that makes sense. Because there's a knowing he's always with me. Thank you guys for letting me share. Love you all. Let's open it up. Who would like to share? I think Vanessa would like to open it up. Vanessa, do you want to open it up?
Thanks, Tyler. I'm Vanessa. I'm an alcoholic. There's so much richness in everything that you just read and shared with us. I mean, for me, it's like, it really is what you talked about in terms of taking in these considerations and really looking at today, you know, what is blocking me from my higher power? You know, what is it? What are the prejudices that I have? And like, in of course, looking at, I mean, in particular, they're talking about in looking at religion and faiths, and I can look at all the things, you know, there's many, but outside of that, and just that part that, like I said, that part about outward appearances and not inward reality, you know, I always would think about the, you know, what is it? How do we say it? Like, people's outsides and my inside, don't compare and despair, right? That kind of thing. I always thought about it like that, but just today hearing it from you and just going, right, like, because I'm not seeing that light in this other person. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at this outside thing, whether it be an annoyance or an actual outside thing, you know, it doesn't matter. It just, can I let the light in me connect with the light in the other person? You know, can I do that with everyone in my life? I mean, that's what I really want. You know, I want to be able to do that, to just let the light in me connect with the light in you, no matter who you are. You know, like, how beautiful. I'm like, oh, I just want that. It feels like the weight would be lifted, right? If that could happen all the time. So I strive for that. Thank you.
That's beautiful. When do you remember getting that thought in your life that that's what you wanted?
This year.
See what I mean? See, and look, you've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
And what
it's been little bits, like coming to BBA obviously opened the door in the first place, like 4 years ago. But you know, this past year, especially with these conditions, having the world stop and more time for me to be present with my true self and my higher power, like, has allowed for that time to consider. Really, I'm in New York. I'm go all the time. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We're like not moving ever. So to like stopped and put in our apartments and like, you have to sit here forever in front of a computer. It's like, I mean, it just forced me to really get quiet.
You know? I love that. I wanted to know when you first thought of it. Who would like to share? Please unmute. I know Jan is timing 3 minute times. Well, you guys, do I have to pick on you? How about Helen? Hi, Helen.
Hello, Tyla. Hello, everyone. Oh my goodness. You really this portion, you really just surgically went into right where I'm at. And the only way I can equate it, because I came out the church, is having this form of God, but really denying the power. Thinking I had a personal relationship, but not. And it's scary, Tyla. The considerations of the things I've evaded, the things I ignored, and the baffledness is not even knowing that. So I'm just so grateful that the great orchestrator led me to BBA, and that I'm here, and that I get to get closer and go further and go deeper. God had given me something that it's never what it looks like. And I wrote that when you were talking about the external never being the internal. It's never what it looks like, and how judgmental, you know, of the people in the church. And when you said I was judging their judgment, you know, and it's just, I think the main thing for me though is the baffling and the cunningness of how the disease keeps you from seeing it, because you think you have that conscious contact. And I know it's only through the conscious contact that that you get to see it, that the revelation shows you. It's like the veil is moved and then you really get to see. So I'm full again. I'm in awe. I'm definitely, and when you read that part about the awe
and wonder,
the awe and wonder of the magnificence
of God.
Woo! I am just so grateful. I really am. So thanks for letting me share.
I'm so grateful you're here. Who would like to share? How about Ryan?
On Fernando, I'm an alcoholic.
Fernando. Ryan,
Helen, first of all, where are you? There you are. I love you. Thank you for your share. Thank you for your heartfelt share. And you know, Tyler, I'm glad that you tell us to put our phone numbers on here, because a lot of the people who put their numbers on this screen, Rick and Marie, I got to use these numbers last week, because I didn't know some of the stuff on the assignments. Mm-hmm. And just reaching out and asking by having people put their numbers on there is big for me. Mm-hmm. That's part of me, is finding my voice, finding my being here right now. And the doubt and prejudice, as I was reading with Dawn, my step guide, I didn't really see it, so many doubts and prejudices I had, because I doubted it. God believed and loved me for a long, long time, because I had grown up with a religious God, not the spiritual God, but the religious God. Okay. And what I'm learning here is it's more of a spiritual God. Yeah. And then that I was not the right color, that I didn't have the right amount of money, that I didn't have the right job. All these things, I love the homework that you gave us, because I felt like God was not accepting me because I didn't have the right amount of money. And now I worship money over having a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And you know, it says, what is your conception? Well, my conscious contact right now, consciously, like right here, right now, conscious, not subconscious. God is all. God is love. God is everything good in everything and everyone. God is limitless power. God is limitless knowledge, eternally, unity. God is not material. And I never really thought about all this stuff until this workshop, because I never learned how to get so deep, because I was like, you know what? Just don't drink, go to meetings. That's going to be AA. But you know what? That's so far from the truth. You know, I'm just so thankful and so grateful to be on this workshop for everybody here. And I'm just thankful for these guys letting me in there.
Mm-hmm. I'm grateful too for those guys and for you.
Love you.
Love you, baby. Let's go back to Ryan.
Ryan, alcoholic. Thank you for your message today. What was revealed to me over the homework was some of the things that you mentioned for yourself, that, you know, I always gave spirituality a chance, but I never gave religion a chance. And, you know, I felt that it was okay to be spiritual. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and choose that, right? Because that's my conception. And I didn't think I had any prejudices. I thought I was open. But when I, you know, thought deep inside, yeah, I have prejudice against religion, you know. I was never open to that. And maybe that could be something that I can lay aside. You know, maybe that's where growth is for me. And, you know, I love that you pointed out, because I've been stuck on the feeling, right? And you say the conscious presence of God, right? So mm-hmm. it's a knowing, not a feeling. So that's going to really help me out, because I've been real stuck on the feeling. Anyway, that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much for sharing. Who would like to share? Natasha? Hi, Natasha.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, honey. Yeah, baby.
Okay, cool. Yeah, thank you for your share. It was amazing, as usual. And everyone else's share so far has been beautiful. I love this part of the book, and I used to think that it really didn't apply to me, and that, you know, I really kind of missed the whole point of the book. I just thought it was something we read. You know, I used to fall asleep reading it, and then just, you know, coming to understand it as we present it, or as it's presented here in Big Book Awakening, just makes it come to life. And then I could actually, you know, live like God is real, you know, rather than just kind of something I read in a book and I talk about when I sometimes talk about when I go to meetings. Like I was afraid to talk about God at meetings because I didn't want to scare newcomers, and just it, and I was bothered by the way some people talked about it, you know, like it's bristle with antagonism. So it, there was no, like, I had no sense of like what God was, you know, I was missing the point, you know, as with the forest had, through the trees, you know, just for a few bad trees, like the whole thing was just this convoluted mess for me. So how could I have this conscious relationship with something I really didn't understand, and that I was bothered by everyone's, you know, perception and presentation of it. So coming to this part in the book where I get to just keep it simple, where I don't have to understand God. It doesn't have to be so-and-so's God. It doesn't have to be other person's God. It doesn't have to be the ideas that were impressed upon me in childhood. And I get to review those, like, what were they? And can I question, how did those come to be? You know, because my mom told me, well, how about now someone else is telling me something? Like, can I be open to that? Mm-hmm. Where did I get these ideas where I just like, I lived my life by like, God, there's no God, that this idea is stupid. It's like there, it just doesn't make any sense, you know, but that's really the way I lived. And it kept me closed off from accessing, you know, the presence and the power of God. And so this, you know, process where it's like, I don't have to understand what that power is. I don't have to define it in words. And it doesn't even matter, like, if I call it God, because how I perceive God and how I say the word God, it doesn't change the power of God. It doesn't change who God is. God is still going to be God. You know, I don't create God just because my idea of God changes. So it's like, I get to experience what God actually is, and God gets to reveal God's self to me as I continue to seek. But if I want to live with those limited beliefs, like, how's that working for me? I get to see in step one, it hasn't been working too well. You know, I'm dying. And do I want to live? And like you said, it's not forced upon me. It's like a choice I get to make. Mm-hmm. Like, am I willing to believe? Am I willing to believe that maybe some of the ideas I had about God were wrong? Am I willing to believe that there is a God? It's just that simple. Like, and that this God is going to be able to take me further in these areas. Yeah. And then I get to experience the presence of God, and it's however imperfect it may be, it's perfect. So I hope that made sense. Thanks.
Yes, it did. Dylan, would you like to share, honey?
Sure. My name's Dylan. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Dylan.
So a couple things. First, you know, I see where my prejudice lies with like organized religion. You know, I myself wasn't raised in a religious family, but, you know, my older sister, she was raised, like Jehovah's Witness, and some really kind of messed up things happened to her, because of her mother's involvement in the church. And you know, I lived with that prejudice against, you know, kind of like organized religion. And I think it's funny because if you look above my head here, you can see
the crucifix. I'm watching. I'm seeing it
hanging above my bed. I literally fought with my husband. My husband's Catholic, so I literally fought with my husband for over a year about hanging that cross above our bed. I mean, that's where like my prejudice like runs thick, right? You know, spiritual concepts, you know, spiritual things I'm more comfortable with. But when I think of things like conversion therapy, and I think of things like, you know, the evil that has been done in the name of Christ or in the name of, it's really hard for me to get past that. You know, and I still struggle with it. But like it says in the book, like, we have to see where religious people are right. right? And you know, there's bad apples in everything, you know, and I was just going over some stuff with Joe, and it's like, the entire reason why I wanted to do this whole workshop was to build my spiritual connection, right? I was introduced to BBA over 10 years ago.
I know.
You know, and so I knew what the solution was. I've known what the solution has been because I've seen it work in the lives of other people for the last decade. And so, you know, reaching out to Joe, you know, this journey, and I'm glad we got to this point, because I tell you, I get that I'm powerless, and I love that we're very thorough with the first step, but I was sick of it. You know, I wanted to get to this part because, you know, I'm really, really, really looking forward to, you know, this spiritual journey and, you know, building that connection, with my higher power. You know, that's developed over time. You know, I was telling Joe earlier, it's like I came in to the rooms as an atheist, like straight up atheist, like, you people are on crack. Wait, okay, yes, I know. And, you know, it's like it's slowly evolved over time, you know, agnostic. Today, I do have, you know, a conception of what my higher power is, but I've lost that connection. You know, and so, you know, I'm just really excited, you know, for the next couple months as we go through this work together. And Tyla and everyone else, thank you so much. You shared, Tyla, I don't know how you talk as fast as you do, you and Joe both.
I'm sorry, but I don't want, like, I want to give a lot of time to you guys to share.
But
I
just, you don't miss Joe and I are fast. It's like, you don't miss a beat. And it's a beautiful thing to watch. So
thanks you, guys. Sweetie. I love you so much. I'm just so glad you're here, Dylan. You know, it means a lot to me. Who would like to share? Who would like to unmute and share?
Hi, Tyler. I'm Marie. I'll share.
Hi, Marie.
Hi. Oh my gosh. I'm just blown away tonight. And I've always loved this chapter, We Agnostics, but you know, we didn't go through this step together. So going through it with you now is so special to me. And I'm getting such a deeper experience. And, you know, when I wrote about my prejudices, I was surprised because, you know, going through the work and then, you know, having the experience of taking other people through, a lot has changed in me, but a lot hasn't changed in me. And, you know, I spent the weekend, as you know, in pain. My back was hurting. And, you know, I still have, like, when that happens, I think I have to fix it, you know, or a doctor has to fix it. I don't think that God will fix it for me, you know, and you helped me with that, you know, and like, it happened, you know, from me playing with my granddaughter, who I love more than anything. And I was afraid to go be with her again because I didn't want it to happen, you know. And I forgot to bring God with me when I was with her, you know. And God is what's so with her when she's with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had so many silly doubts and prejudices, you know. I mean, if people would call God the Lord, I would just like run as far as I could from them. I have no idea why. You know, it was just like, don't say that around me. And, you know, and so I've been searching and seeking for a long time. And then, you know, when I did... and did do the assignment about what God is to me, it's, you know, unconditional love and strength and powerful and forgiving and, you know, all knowing and dependable and always there for me. And I don't have to be good, you know, what I think is a perfect for God to be in my life, you know, and I've seen that, but I never saw, I didn't know how many doubts and prejudices I still have. And so I'm really having an experience in the workshop, and I'm so grateful for you and for Joe. And
thank you
for all that I've learned. Thanks so much.
I'm so grateful too. Thank you so much. Dominic, you want to share?
Sure. Hi, Tyla. Dominic, alcoholic. Wow. You know, I can feel God running through this group. I'm in love with BBA. Mm-hmm. I'm in love with my God. I remember when I was a child and feeling that power, you know, hearing about him through my family and actually feeling that connection with him. And then, you know, going through the Catholic Church, things started happening in my life. As we went through the prejudices and I took that time out and I started thinking about going to school and learning about other religions and people trying to convert me throughout my life. And, you know, I evaded it. And I saw the prejudice. And so 20 months ago, there's no doubt in my mind that God gave me my sobriety date, mm-hmm. that he led me to you. He led me to my sponsor. Mm-hmm. Okay. And this book is just, oh my gosh. And how you break it down. You know, my God is all powerful and healing and love. And I'm just so grateful to be in this. And thank you.
Thank you, Dominic. Thank you so much. Who would like to share?
I'm Felicia.
Hi, Felicia.
Hi, Felicia, alcoholic. And Tyla, thank you for the beautiful breakdown, as usual. I wanted to say, first of all, the reading that you had Helen do on the first.
I lost you, honey. We lost you, Felicia.
And began that again.
Felicia, we lost you. What's that noise? Do you have banging going on in your house, honey?
Dominic, you need to mute. Thank you.
I muted him.
Okay. I'm not sure if you can hear me now.
Yes, we can.
Okay, I'll try this. Okay. So hopefully you can hear me. I'll try to talk fast. The prayer, that powerlessness prayer, step one, I felt the presence of God with that. That right there, really just ushered in the presence of God into our meeting last week. And I wanted to talk about it then. I wanted to have a whole discussion at the end of the meeting right there. And then to start off with it again today. So just as Dominic said a moment ago, I feel the presence of God in this meeting. And, you know, like you were saying, it's a knowing. And mm-hmm. the more and more I continue to do the work again and again through BBA, I mean, I don't even know how many times I've done it. And it doesn't matter because it's a privilege. It's just a privilege to keep just uncovering and discovering and for more to be revealed. And the work I find just meets you wherever you're at. And I'm grateful for you to have sent the assignment that you did. And as I wrote about, what do I evade or have, what are my prejudices with God? And I realized that some work I had done recently revealed that I carried an idea of God that to whom much is given, much is required. That it's a scripture. It's the teaching I had come with, and it was tied to shame. It's tied to really how I ended up in these rooms because I it came from a thought that how did I end up here? Like how, you know, I was blessed. I wasn't left behind a dumpster. This didn't happen to me. So why couldn't I keep it together? And why did I become an alcoholic? And earlier on, that was some of my thinking. And I was really glad to say that by the end of my ditch on my writing, I can tell you that at this point in where I am in my recovery, I knew that I don't have that same prejudice. I knew that God doesn't look at me like that. Like, oh, you know, because I gave you so much, you're supposed to act right. Like, shame on you. You should have known better. You should have done better. Da, da, da. But I honestly did have that. And I carried that with me for a long time, so much so that it got me drunk. And that had I not put that aside, and it when that does come up, I have to remember that didn't come from me. That is not of God. And I don't have to feel that today, although it can creep up sometimes, you know, that I should be better than that. And I have to catch myself. I'm working with a coach and I do coaching. And it's like when those words should be come up, and they do sometimes still, I gotta listen, hear that and say, there's no should be. That's ego. That's egoic idealism. This is I should be more. No, I'm just human around here. And God loves me, and God wants me to just remember anytime I feel like I should be more, it's just an invitation for me to draw closer to him, just showing me where I need more of him. And I'm fine with that. I'm good with that today. And I love that I can know that he's right there for me and that I can seek him more. And that is just an opportunity for me to go further. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Joe, would you like to share, honey? Don't make a funny face. Come on, Joe.
Share next week.
Okay, whatever you want, but we'd love to hear you.
I'll take 3 minutes. Okay. Great share tonight, Tyla.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I was struggling studying so much, you know, because I talked to you.
Well, it comes out easily. So you're just amazing. Every time
Thank
I
hear you,
you really are.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I too get so much from this, and I'm learning so much through the workshop, and I've been through the work lots of times, you know, workshops, and I still learn during a workshop. And this is why you're my sponsors, because I still learn from you. You're teaching me all the time.
Thank you.
With this chapter, like this laying aside prejudice, like this is what I need to do. Like, these are the things that I've just, like Dylan said, I'm so over the step one, you know, I'm over it, but it's the fire on my ass, you know, and it's the truth. Mm-hmm. It's the reality mm-hmm. of what's going on is step one. And I can't get out of it. You know, I may not have faith in God at this point. If you're working with someone new, they may not. Mm-hmm. And I meet them where they're at, you know, but I know I don't have faith in me anymore. And the faith in drugs has left me too, because it's mm-hmm. not for me what it used to do. So I have to put my faith and reliance on something. And now I'm faced with my honest doubt and prejudice, and this blocking me from moving forward. So I'm looking at this stuff to move forward. And I see that, you know, faced with alcoholic destruction, we soon became open-minded on spiritual matters. We tried to be on other questions, that alcohol was a great persuader. So my experience, you know, my experience is everything to me now. And I wouldn't have said that early in sobriety because of the suffering and the relapsing and the going back and forth and whatnot. But through that experience, you know, alcohol and drugs did become the great persuader, because it beat me into a state of reasonableness. And I couldn't have gotten there on my own. You know, I needed the experience that I had with drugs and alcohol to get me to a place to be willing to believe and to move forward in the steps. And I truly believe that. And I may not have had that, I may not have saw that early on. But now I can look back, because, you know, hindsight's 20/20. I can look back and see that what happened, like, happened for a reason to get me to a place of truth that I would not have been able to get through maybe just by getting through this. I wouldn't have been brought to the work had I not gone through this, the experience that I went through. And so everything kind of worked out for a reason, you know. And I hate saying that, you know, but it's true. Looking back, I can see that, like, things did fall into place for a reason, because I wouldn't have been graced with the truth that I am graced with today. So that's one point. And I can set aside my doubt and my prejudice, like my prejudice against organized religion, but that don't mean tomorrow I'm going to walk my ass into a kingdom hall. You know what I mean? Like, because my family was Jehovah's Witness too. And like, okay, you told me I'm going to die. I get it. I'll set it aside, but I ain't walking into a kingdom hall. It's just not going to happen, you know? So, and my dad is religious, you know, there's still that. And I can look at religion and say, so here I am shooting dope, you know, I'm miserable and I'm judging people who are stable. You know, that makes no sense whatsoever. So like, oh, those fucking people, oh, I can't stand them, blah. You know what? I can't even get sober. This chapter should help me wake up to some of that truth of like, well, what you've got to offer, you know? Nothing, I had nothing to offer, no one at all. And here I am judging these people. And I like what you said, that your mom said, like, she would, if there was a God, then their children would be disabled. If there was a God, there would be poverty. Well, you know, screw the children and screw poverty. What's going on with me? You know, I need help. And what's real, I couldn't look at all this outside stuff that wasn't so much, like, my life is what's going on around me and what's happening to me and what's real for me. And so what's real is this first step, you know? I couldn't get caught up in, well, if there was a God, there wouldn't be this. If there was a God, there wouldn't be this. Because that didn't matter to me anymore because of the truth I found through my experience. And what was real to me was I'm dying of this disease. I am dying, and that is real, and that's happening right now. And I need a way out. And this is the only thing I've seen it work in others, which is so beautiful. I've seen it work in others, and I have nowhere else to go. You know, this is the last house on the block, and I didn't even want to go to it. The plumbing didn't work. I didn't like the people that were living there, but here I am. You know, that's just the way it is. And one more thing, I know, Jan, I'm out of time, but I'm going to say one last thing. 3 minutes in my ass. This consciousness is the presence of God, you know. I may have had that. Like, I've had it, you know. Mm-hmm. What happens, and we're going to get more into this in the seventh step, is I start getting things in this program. I start getting these cash and prizes, and these things seem to come between a relationship with God. See, what happens is like the feeling that you were talking about. I start getting this new relationship. I start, oh, I got a house now. Oh, I'm getting a new car. I have a spiritual experience. I start relying on this feeling that outside things are giving me. And then the presence, the consciousness, the presence of God is somewhat lost, or it's not even the focus anymore. Because what the focus has become is the job. What the focus has become is the relationship. What the focus has become is all the external stuff, the cash and prizes. And now that relationship is gone. And I'm not doing the practices that I was used to. I'm not experiencing the presence of God in my life like I was, because now it's dependent upon these outside things that I need to feel better about myself. And that's where I lose touch with that. And the good and the bad, and some of the things that are good have become bad in my life, have come between my relationship with God. And some of the bad stuff has got me closer to relationship with God. And remember what we talked about, God does not need my permission to use me and to be close to me. That's all I have to share. Thank you.
Beautiful, Joe. Okay, we have time for one short one. Someone wants to share a couple minutes. Tina, you want to share?
Hi, Tina, alcoholic.
Hi, Tina.
You know, my head is just spinning because it's like everything is starting to click. And I'm sure I'll be calling you, Tyler, to kind of go.
You can call me anytime.
Because what I'm finding is more and more I am starting to learn to rely on, you know, God. I'm finding more of a peace within. My mom's in the hospital, and I know I don't have any control. I know he does, you know, mm-hmm. And I'm able to, I have my moments, but I'm able to push it, you know, aside pretty much, you know, and focus on what needs to be done, you know, the day-to-day stuff. And I'm learning to, I'm learning more about the spiritual part, and I'm seeing that's what I need to learn more about the, when I'm listening to everybody talk, and all the shares have been great. Thank you, Helen. You know, you just being real, it speaks a lot. You know, just like I said, my head is just everywhere right now. But I'll just leave it at that, and I'll talk to you more.
Thanks. Thanks, Tina. Thanks for sharing. I know you don't share a lot, and it's good to hear from you.
Thanks.
Thank you, honey. We're going to wrap it up, unless someone has a burning desire. Everybody okay? I'm going to give you a homework assignment, and I really would like you all to write it down. And there's a couple of things. I don't know if you have your, do you guys have your questionnaire with you? Your 1, 2, 3 questionnaire? Okay, first of all, the first part of the assignment is, first write this down. This isn't, put the 1, 2, 3 assignment, write this down. The first part of the assignment is that the beginning of the week, the first 3 days of the week, in a quiet time, just a few minutes each day, I want you to consider that there is no God. Just consider it. God doesn't mind that you consider it. God knows what we're working towards. He's fine as can be over it. So to any of you that may think that's, we shouldn't, God would be mad, he's not. He's okay with it. So just consider, just take a consideration, you know, like when you, let's say you're getting ready to wake up in the morning and you're in bed and you're just getting ready to get out of bed, consider, there is no God. I want you to take that deep into consideration for 3 days. And then there is no God and God is nothing. That's the consideration. Then the next 3 days, I want you to consider this, a few minutes each day, God is everything. Okay, I just want you to consider those. 3 days, God is nothing. There is no God. 3 days, God is everything. And there is God, okay? Then the other one is, you're gonna do an exercise in the 1, 2, 3 questionnaire on the bedevilments. I don't have the 1, 2, 3 with me, but I can give it to you either way, because I know it. In the 1, 2, 3 questionnaire, you're gonna see the exercise, God is everything or God's nothing, through the bedevilments. Do you see that? It's on the first page, right? You see it, okay? And it says, I'm having trouble with personal relationships. If God is nothing, or is God, if God is everything? Is that, what's first, Vanessa? God is everything? Nothing. God is nothing. Okay, nothing. Right. Okay. So it's going to say, trouble in personal relationships. If God is nothing, you're going to write what your trouble, how your trouble would be in personal relationships. If God is everything, how your trouble would be. And I want to offer you one more thing to take a step further if you guys want to do it, because it's a great exercise and the people that I'm working with are doing it. Where it says, I'm having trouble with personal relationships, okay? You have those 10 relationships that you wrote down in the bedevilment exercise. The bedevilment exercise, that list, now becomes my present day agnosticism list. And in the 10 relationship exercise, you're going to ask God with each one, God, please show me what a solution to my trouble with my brother is. And you're intuitively going to write, see what comes off your pen. God, please show me what the solution to the trouble with my sister is. God, show me what the solution is to the trouble with my boss. Show me the solution to what my, I'm sorry. Show me a solution to the trouble with my boss. Show me a solution, God, to the trouble with my daughter. And just intuitively write it. You're just going to do it at one sitting. It's not going to take a long time. Intuitively write it. I want you to see that you're connecting right with conscious contact with God. See what God's showing you, okay? Then the next one where it says, I can't control my emotional nature. You're going to write if God's everything or God's nothing. But if you want to go further on each one of these, you're going to ask God, show me, God, what the solution is to my trouble with my emotional nature. And you're going to intuitively write that. Then when you go to pray to misery and depression, I want you to split those on the meditation. God, show me the trouble. Show me the solution to my trouble with misery. God, show me the solution to my trouble with depression. And let it come off of your pen in an intuitive way. And it's a very powerful exercise. You're making the conscious contact through this exercise. I can't make a living. God, show me what the trouble is. The solution to the trouble is with making a living. Show me, God, what the solution is to feeling useless. Show me what the trouble is with not being able to be of real help to other people. Okay. Do you guys got that? It's a great exercise. That's what I wanted to share with you. And I'm so looking forward to hearing Joe next week, because this second half is just so powerful. And Joe knows the assignment, but he let me give it tonight. Thank you, Joe. So anyone have any questions? What, honey?
Said, of course he knows the assignment.
Yeah, Joe knows it, but he sometimes he just likes me to talk.
I have a question, Tyler.
Yes, sweetie.
So on the days that we're considering God is nothing, then we just consider it, but then we can pray, right?
Yes. Okay. Dan Sherman has people for a week do nothing. You can't pray. You can't meditate. You can do nothing. He does a 2-week thing on it. I don't do it. I've done it. I don't feel I don't think it's that helpful, and it takes a long time. And I don't want to restrict people's practices. I want them just to take a minute to consider it. I think what Dan does is great, but I didn't find it was more effective. So that's okay. What we did. Okay, baby. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Just consider it. I want you to consider what's it like to wake up in the morning and there's no God.
Yeah. Can I just add one thing, a way to look at that?
Yeah. Too? Yeah. Yeah. Joe.
It's, that God is nothing. That all I have to rely on is me. That's it.
Yeah.
It's just, another way to look at it is there's no God, I'm God. So all I have to rely on is me. So what do my prospects for the future look like?
Yeah.
Oh, total wrecking train.
Anyway, either way is fine. I just say there's no God. I just want to wake up and say there's no God. And just, it's very, very powerful. So any other questions? If anyone has any, just please contact me. I want to let you all know there is a workshop starting May 10th out of New Jersey at 8:00 with Bobby and Nikki Barra. Do you know them, Vanessa?
Yeah.
Bobby J is Ian's brother and Nikki Barra. They're doing a workshop. They're only taking 20 people, BBA. And it is at 8:00 New Jersey time, so it would be 5:00 West Coast time. So if anyone knows anyone that wants to get in a workshop, contact me because it'll fill up fast. So Annette, would you like to take us out in the serenity prayer, honey?
Yes. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen.
Amen.